to sound more excited this time.
Hey.
Guys, I know you guys heard a male voice. We have a guest today.
In the studio.
Do you guys recognize the voice?
Who's here?
James Amanasakoy.
Okay, call a guest name.
You gotta rap it.
LOL. We have a guest today, guys. It's my lovely brother.
Hey. And he's with us in Atlanta.
In the A. You have any life updates you want to give the people?
I don't remember the last time I was on this podcast. Honestly.
Yeah, so just update the last 2 months. Like, just from the beginning of this year.
End of this year, nothing has changed. I'm over in Philly still, doing my life, DC things, kind of hanging out with my people. Yeah, nothing's changed. I'm chilling. I've been going to the gym more, which is good.
Yeah.
Love that for you.
Yeah.
Do I have a life update? You know, work is going well, doing that whole nutrition thing. I have a PSA for the people. If you feed your child Similac or Abbott products, like Similac, Elicare Junior, all that stuff, there's a recall.
Damn, let me go through that Similac.
If you are a parent feeding your child this, one, if you haven't heard about this recall in the past week, two, stop feeding it to them. Go get a replacement like Alfamino or Neocate or something else, okay, guys? Because it's a mess out here. But other than that, you know, we've been here in this apartment for 2 months now. Good things are going on.
Cute.
I got flowers for Valentine's Day. And I just want to say that. That's all.
I was going to be messy at Astro. Yeah. I'll let you live. I'll let you live. I got a rinky dink ass band.
I wait.
But it's okay. I appreciated the day. Okay. So, life update. Obviously, working out more. Preparing for the Ghana Music Awards this year. I'm so excited, guys. Y'all ready to vote? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And then I started working with this TV show called Culturally Lit, and it's opened up some amazing opportunities. They're a show in 42 countries in Africa, and they're now coming to America too. So when the show is here, please watch me on it. You can see my face talk. And now just not my voice and not hear me sing. So it's lit. And it's beautiful out here in the A. The weather's so nice. The sun be out. Shit like that.
LOL.
Not while I've been here, though.
But you're a cat. It was so nice yesterday. Wasn't it yesterday?
It was nice the day before, too.
You know what I was doing? I was working.
Working,
well,
yeah.
Yeah.
I was well.
Hey, the break gotta come somehow.
LOL.
That's true.
Yeah.
But, you heard him say he does VC, right?
Yes, sir.
LOL. Honestly, I heard you say EC and it made me think of Enero Central at work. I was like, oh.
All right, I'm going to now do this today. So we have a topic for you guys, as usual.
Yes. What are we talking about?
I feel like it's a little bit different, but we're talking about mother relationships.
Yeah.
It's really mother-daughter, but James is here, so we're going to do mother-everybody relationships.
LOL.
Inclusive.
Yes,
very, very inclusive. Diversity the other way. Include the men.
Yeah, we need space. We need more space for men.
Yes.
Yeah. Spaces for men to open up and be comfortable.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, you're being serious. I was joking.
I was going to say something else, but I'm deciding to calm down.
No, please, choose violence.
Men should, you know, open up those spaces for themselves a bit more and not rely on women, primarily black women all the time, to open these spaces for them. Because I see a lot of this conversation of, I don't feel comfortable and blah, 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 blah. But it's like, are you waiting for me to start the conversation or do whatever? Or
so that you can be the opinionated black woman.
Yeah, you know, sometimes, obviously everybody wants to communicate and be heard and be loved. But sometimes you got to open that space for yourself.
If you guys want to talk about that, we can do a quick
LOL.
Let's talk about that instead. We're going to talk about those moms today.
We can do a quick detour first.
You got something to say?
Well, yeah.
Say something.
I mean, so, and this is just my experience.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't really care that. Well, I don't know if they don't care that much, but the people that usually ask the questions are women that are interested in you. Because, and we'll touch on this.
Ask what question?
Like, about you and how you feel. Since I started dating someone in a long-term relationship, I just realized how often she asked me, how do you feel today?
Yeah.
And how little anyone's ever asked me that before.
How often do you ask her that?
A lot. But I mean, I think her friends asked her that too. Mm. And like her peers. And I mean, she also releases her emotions easier than I do.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I feel like even if you don't ask her, sometimes you'll see it.
Yeah. Or she'll just say it.
Yeah. Or she'll just say it. And like, I don't know. This isn't like a blame thing.
Mm.
But like, you know, like, definitely, I didn't grow up with my dad too much, but, like, I don't think he would have asked.
Mm.
My mom never really asked me, like, unfortunately, like, I don't think he really would go with games. How do you feel today?
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, like, not a part of the lexicon for men often.
Lexicon, so, yeah.
So, like, I mean, like, basically what I'm trying to say is, like, you don't really encounter it until someone starts asking you, and the people that usually ask you are the people that you're...
Exactly. So, which is why I said, don't rely on women or anyone to ask you. And it's not even just about, like, day-to-day conversations about how are you.
Mm-hmm.
It's looking for...
It builds.
Huh?
It builds.
What builds?
The ability to show emotion.
Yeah, if you don't do it, like, on a weekly cadence.
Yeah, exactly. Whether you're not showing it yourself and you're waiting for someone to come force it out of you. Like, it's just emotional trauma.
Well, you don't feel it. You know, it's not like you're holding it in and you're waiting. It's like, I don't acknowledge
A lot
it.
Of these men are holding it in and waiting.
Well, the thing is, what I'm trying to say to you is,
mm-hmm.
and this is just, once again, what I know,
mm-hmm.
is, like, you don't feel it every day, and then you just meet some girl, and you're like, bow, let it go. It's like, you know, she starts talking to you about her feelings or about your feelings, and then suddenly it's like, oh, I feel these things, and then it comes out. And that comes out as emotional manipulation, I'm sure, but...
Yeah, I'm saying that's change. All you're saying is not a lie. It's very true.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean it's right or
so
that's how it should be.
Contributing.
Well, not contributing. I don't want to say it like that. I just mean, like, that's just kind of where it's at for a lot of people.
Men or people?
Well, I'd say men, but, like, I think there's a lot of women in that position, too.
That have what?
That are in that position, too.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, it's not, like, one side or the other. But I know specifically, I don't know whatever month that was men's health. Mental health month or whatever.
That was a shit show.
That month, every day I saw women asking, it's meant, like, all the tweets that I saw about men's mental health were from women talking about it, asking about it, starting some sort of conversation, whether it be on Twitter or even in real life. And so then I remember I saw something, some guy saying, women don't care. And I'm like, every tweet I've seen, and obviously I'm only speaking as me, but, you know, Twitter's a pretty big space. I see a lot of things that I don't even follow. Every tweet I've seen that's been about this topic has been from women. So at the same time, you're blaming women for you not feeling worthy or ready or able to then open up about whatever the heck is going on in your life. I'm sorry, you gotta miss me with that.
Let's blame society. Like, I feel like...
You said what?
I said, let's blame society, because I feel like overall it's not like a woman thing or a man thing, but, like, it's just socialized that men shouldn't talk more about their emotions. So then, like, it doesn't really change that much, and it should, but it doesn't really change that much when it comes to, like, a political issue or a social issue, because they just have trouble expressing their emotion overall.
Yeah, you only encounter expressing emotions when it's with someone that wants you to express their emotions, and the only person that really asks you for that is the person you're dating.
I think men should try to change that for themselves. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Mothers!
LOL.
Women! Not men! Mothers! Okay. So, we're going to talk about the complexities of the relationships with moms. Or, like, I guess the easities. That's definitely not a word, but you know what I mean. Like, if whether it's hard, whether it's easy in terms of relationships with your mom.
Mm.
And how that's been over the course of your life and all of that.
All of that. Okay, so my relationship with my mom. I feel like right now it's good. I really like that woman a lot. Like, she's annoying because she's a mom in general, you know? Like, sometimes she asks things or she wants me to do things. I'm just like, shoddy, like, please. But, I don't know. I feel like I really, and maybe this is low-key to a disservice to a degree, but, I just, like, love her. Like, I just look at her and it makes me happy, and she just says things that make me happy, and she's just, like, funny and weird in her own little way. And then, like, I think I just, the disservice part is, like, I just really, I don't know about put myself in her shoes, I guess, but, like, I just, I don't know, she says things or does things, and I'm just, like, I understand where this is coming from. And where other people are, like, I guess I understand where this is coming from, but it's still, like, maybe problematic or whatever, I'm just like, I understand where this is coming from. I get her point of view and wherever that comes from or whatever. And I'm just like, so whatever. And I think that also comes with like maybe like moving out and stuff like that. Like that is the thing now. So maybe before, whereas I would actually like really be annoyed, now it's like, girl, I'm gonna hang up. So there's that. But I mean, even before, like I just really, really like that lady. Like she's freaking awesome. But it was not always like that. So I think I was saying before that I'm probably gonna split this up into like before my parents' divorce and after my parents' divorce. Before my parents' divorce, tumultuous. That's the word I'm gonna use. Like just
okay, that was my word too.
LOL. Just like real fighting every day, all day, problematic. Were we in World War III at the time? I don't know. Oh,
this is but, it right now. Putin. Oh, sorry.
But it was just like a really crazy time. Obviously, when a parent is going through something like a not so great marriage and, you know, different types of like abuse and things like that, it's not like something that they can like table that and then come be like the perfect mother to you. And I think that's where my disservice thing comes in again, whereas I feel like other people are able to be like, yeah, that's true and all, but you had these kids, but you did this, or but you got to do that. I'm now able to just be like, that's what it was at that time. And I think ultimately I just feel like she's so strong that like I can't imagine a lot of things she's been through to where I just, I don't know, give her that grace over and over and over again. But and I'm not saying like it's bad now, like it's good to where I don't really have to extend all this grace, but to get to where I am now with her, I feel like I had to really do that myself, honestly, and just like suppress, forget, move things aside, things like that, I guess. But yeah, before the divorce, you know, she definitely could be like verbally abusive and say things that, you know, weren't the nicest. I always remember like when our parents were like going through whatever, she like basically told me to like, basically she said like, you better get with this program or like I'm not your mom, like I'm not gonna take care of you.
And
like
she said she would disown us.
Yeah, she said she would disown us. So, you know, those were obviously not the greatest times, and I had to, you know, adapt and whatever to make my choice, I guess, which isn't fun as like a 10 or 11 year old or however we were at the time, you know. But ultimately, I guess it's easier to make a decision when one parent is there or stayed and one parent is not there and didn't stay.
I think he was doing drugs.
Oh my God, stop! I mean, obviously, like my mom was there. Whether she was perfect or not, she was there. So, you know, we made that choice and we stuck to it. Love you, yeah. Daddy.
Not that nigga.
But yeah, so obviously during that time, it was. Stop! Dude, like please. That.
I know.
It was other stuff, but
I gotta get those jokes in.
LOL.
I was there. It was cool.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that wasn't fun. You know, she obviously said things and did things that I'm sure even if I asked her about now, she wouldn't remember or she didn't think it was like that or whatever. Because, you know, they contort things in their brain to also move on too. So, you know, it definitely takes a lot, I think, on my part. I'm going to put this in there, and I'm sure all the little African younger kids are like, yeah, we don't give a fuck. But as a girl, older child in that home, like, I do feel like there's just things I had to, like, push to the side to, like, keep it pushing. And I think every child can, like, obviously relate to that. But specifically, like, being older and, like, there being someone younger than me, it's like, my mom very much put on me, like, someone else is looking at you or depending on you or needs to be there. Obviously, she's a nurse, and, you know, she was working nights and days and everything in between. So, I mean, I'm only 2 years younger than James. It's not like I was freaking carrying him around, but I do think that he would also agree that, you know, there was some sort of second mom-ish type feel.
Some sort of second mom.
Oh, okay. I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Like, I don't really, I mean, I know how you feel, man. But, like...
Man, she wasn't, yeah. I mean, she worked a lot, so like, yeah. I don't blame her, but she wasn't there.
Yeah, so it was me and this kid to the end, and
me and a bunch of other people.
Yeah, a whole lot of people. A lot of, you know? a whole lot of aunts spending the night. A whole lot of fake aunts spending the night, fake cousins, all that. Yeah. But at the end, I feel like it made us have a village that is really necessary for a single mother to have. You know, like, and she's a very appreciative person. She will never like bad mouth or anything about those people, no matter how the relationship has gone now, because she realizes that she couldn't have had these two freaking amazing ass kids without these people. and with Alex being just amazing and them even wanting us to go to their house, you know? So all that to say, like, it wasn't always, like, perfect. Like, I definitely looked at a lady sideways sometimes. I definitely hated her. I remember, oh my gosh, because then I was like, you have all these expectations, but girl, you're not even here like that. Like, I remember I had all A's and one C. The way that lady tore into my ass, and then I remember I wrote all these notes calling her all sorts of B words. Oh, that was a crazy time. I swore I wouldn't make it to this age. I know. What? I'll never forget. I wrote all these notes. Because, you know, I didn't say anything, and I used to really like to write. You? I don't even remember. I think I was in middle school.
That was crazy.
That couldn't have been high school. No, it had to be middle school.
Like eighth, seventh grade.
Yeah, maybe like seventh. It couldn't have been seventh grade. That's when Daddy passed. She wouldn't have done that to me. Maybe it was eighth grade. Maybe it was sixth. I think it had to be like sixth or seventh grade. I don't really know. It was sometime during those 3 years. So anyways, she would just be bitching about grades and this, and you don't do this, and you don't do that. Meanwhile, I feel like I'm cooking and slaving and this and that. And I'm like, girl, what else do you want from me? So it's like a constant, like, you're not doing enough. But then, like, you are great, and I love you, and thank you, Nappy. But you could be doing X, Y, and Z, and whatever, whatever. It's just like constantly, like, damn, Shawty, what do you want from me? So obviously I wasn't finna say all that to her, so the only way I could get it out, I felt, was to write it. And, you know, my writing wasn't long or deep, it was just curse words. It was all sorts of bitches and this and that and I hate yous. And my dumbass put it all in this pink bag that I loved. And I just put it probably up in my closet or whatever. And I went to school.
George is somewhere smiling. He doesn't even know why. He's like, Nappy has another pink bag.
I know, I don't even have that pink bag anymore, but it started young. Clearly. But I remember I came home from school. And by home from school, I mean we went to Ms. Josephine's house from school, because at that time we were probably living in insert other state, I mean, city, town here that wasn't in the school district. So my mom would drive us, let's say from like Smyrna, let's say like 20, 30 minutes from our actual school. We lived there, she'd drive us to school, or sometimes Ms. Josephine's house, and we get the bus to school. And then she'd go do who knows what's it, and then come back to Ms. Josephine's house, and we take the bus to Ms. Josephine's house, pick us up, and then we go actually home. So I went to Ms. Josephine's house, and my mom wasn't there. Ms. Josephine was there. And I remember I had just gotten my hair braided, so I knew she was going to be gassing me, like, oh, girl, you cute. I saw her. She said, hey. I said, oh. You know, you could already feel the energy. Like, I felt it.
I always knew when I was going to get my ass to it, too.
Yeah. I knew that something wasn't right, you know? And so she didn't really say anything. I remember I hugged her. It was a subpar hug. I was like, damn, I'm hugging myself. My mom came. What? And I think she had the pink bag, or maybe she had the notes or something. I saw it, and I was like, yo, I'm done for. I'm literally done for. That was a crazy day.
What made her read it?
They'd be nosy. They'd just be touching on stuff, and she was crying. Oh, my gosh. It makes me so sad to think about now, because I can't even think about that now. But I was so mad. I was just like, it's too much, you know? So all that to say, there's a lot, but all that to say, not great. Like, before the divorce and right after the divorce, and just being young and, like, her still being, I'm sure, an emotional mess from all that. And she really didn't show us that. Like, I didn't see her cry or do a whole lot of stuff. You think so?
I saw her cry a lot.
I didn't see her cry. Not really. During the divorce.
I saw her cry when I was younger because of because she was in the financial stuff, and then, like, after the arguments.
Yeah. But I mean, like, after, like, during the divorce time, I didn't really see a whole lot of, like, all that personally. I think she just went to work and did it there. But yeah, she was crying. She was upset. Obviously, as you would be. Why are you calling me a bitch, girl? I'm feeding you. Like, that's how they see it, you know? So yeah, it was a lot. But I don't know. I think just getting older, going to college, trying to figure things out, and I don't know, just her also getting, I don't know what parents get once you start becoming older and being like, damn, I probably can't do all that I was doing before. I probably shouldn't do all the things I should before. And just really having more conversations with her. I feel like she's really a great person. And sometimes, like, she surprises me, like, all the time. Like, I've had conversations with her about, like LGBTQ stuff. That and, like, surprising. Yeah. Like, just her, like, social and political views are very not stereotypical African mom, in my opinion. No. And not, like, very, I was born somewhere else and I came here and I'm thinking about the American dream. Like, she's very, like, progressive in that thought process. And it just makes me look at her in other aspects of her so differently, to where I'm like, even if she doesn't get it, she could get it. And she would get it if we just I don't know if we or she or we tried together or something to where it makes me hopeful just for more of the future. And just like not being under her home in general has made space for wonderful, wonderful things to happen. I miss her a lot. I think she's great. And that is my overall feeling.
She's coming.
She is coming. That's my overall feeling of her.
Podcast.
LOL. I can't imagine her on the podcast. She's like, do I talk now? But I do have like a little caveat of like, my specific college time, and I don't know, just feeling forced to do different types of things or a specific major. I went in undecided. That woman doesn't know that to this very day, I'm pretty sure. It's because I haven't told her really flat out. I maybe sort of tried to get to it, but I just needed to leave there before I brought it up. And now there's no reason to bring it up, so it's fine. But yeah, she very much wanted me to do, you know, a specific route, and I was in line with that as well, or at least I thought I was, but, that just didn't come to fruition. You know, I see a lot of tweets of, they really let 17 and 18 year olds go to college and like choose a major that they're supposed to use this trajectory for the rest of their life. And it's true. Like I did something kind of different than what I originally planned, and I'm at a different, very, very different space than what I originally planned, and I'm happy with it. But I'm happy that I went in undecided and got to see more things and choose more things. But that whole college time was, you know, she wanted me to do a lot. She wanted me to do the bio thing and do the doctor thing and do this and do the nursing thing. And she just didn't understand why I just wasn't going with her. And I really had to just be like, mommy, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not finna be here for 6 years struggling to get the degree you want me to get. Like, that's not what's finna happen. So that whole time was really stressful with, like, my grades and my major and just figuring that out. And like, obviously money is important and all that, and she being there or not being there as much or whatever. But even when I talk about that, I do have to say, I remember one time I was trying to get into this program and I didn't get in, and I was really sad. And the guy that was in charge of the program, that was a whole mess in itself, he like knew my mom and he told her, which like, HIPAA, it's like, nah, that's not health related, but like still, I feel like that's like high key my business. But I remember that conversation, and she obviously really understood that I was stressed and not doing well and not taking it well. And she really said like four words that also just made me like calm down and feel, because I feel like for me specifically, I very much operate in a like low-key, not people-pleasing way, but like Mary Rose-pleasing way. I think James will say hell yeah to that. So, and it's not necessarily just to my detriment. Like, I do feel like we align on a lot of things, but also like sometimes we don't align, you know, but I'm still like trying to do what I want to do, but in a way that's going to be pleasing to her. So for her to say in that moment to me, I'm proud of you. Like, she really was like, I don't care. Like, it's fine. You'll do whatever. Like, I'm proud of you. Like, she said those words to me. I think I cried. Like, I literally was like tearing up. I was like, oh my gosh, like, that's all I needed to hear. Especially a people pleasing person like me. That's literally all I needed to hear. And I think she knows that, so that's why she said it. But yeah, overall, it took a lot to get there, but we're here. And I'm okay with where we are, personally. I don't feel like my mom is jealous of me. I don't feel like she operates in our relationship as wanting me to do what she couldn't do necessarily. Like, when I think about that, I think of like pageant moms and like really forcing. I think her main operative is like, get money and be successful and be able to take care of yourself and me. It's me. Like, overall, however you can get there, obviously they have a trajectory that makes more sense, like school and whatever. But I do think overall, if you are able to do something and make money and be okay and not be selling your soul, not be slutting yourself out or whatever, like, that is her main goal. So
nothing's wrong with sex work.
Yeah, nothing's wrong with sex work. But I don't know if she's that progressive. I don't know. We haven't had that conversation. I'll update y'all. But as far as like her seeing me as a younger her, I definitely think she does. And I think that's why she just wants greatness for... I think she sees herself in a lot of young people, honestly. That's why she just wants greatness for all the young people of the planet. So those are my 2 cents on those specific things. But yeah, who's going next?
I can go next. Wait, I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you think that anything affected you long term in terms of like the way you behave or like act now based on your relationship with your mom?
Yes, I think it all affects the way I
everything.
It all affects affects you.
It all affects, yeah. Like,
that's the point I wanted to get to. That's the point I wanted to get to.
Definitely, definitely. I think us aligning in, like, little things as far as, like, being a specific way and wanting things to be a specific way, I'm very much like her.
Naffy's a little mom.
Yeah, I'm just a little mom, baby honestly. Mama. Yeah, like, not baby mama. Ah.
No, it came to me and I was like,
not that one. That's not what I was trying to do. Little mama, a mini mom. I just, she likes things a specific way. I like things a specific way. But I do think she's become more, like, more, okay, that's your way. I don't think it's right, but whatever. And I'm like that. I would like to think I'm trying to be more like that when it comes to certain things. I mean, you really about to say I'm not like that?
No, me and Georgette made eye contact and we laughed.
You're funny. Anyways.
I got thrown under the bus, too.
Me?
No, Georgette.
But,
No, you're good.
But I don't know.
It's not
think,
a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, I don't...
It's not a good thing. It's not a bad thing, either.
It's just a thing.
It's just a thing.
I just feel like it's not in... This is not what this episode is about, but it's not in a way where it infringes on anybody's happiness or...
And that's my main thing that I really try to think. Like, even...
Shut up!
I'm serious. I mean, like, if you didn't like what she wanted, she would just do what she wanted.
Okay.
Wait, are you talking about mommy or me in relation to other people?
Sorry. Yeah. Okay, got it.
Yeah. I really do try to keep that in mind, because obviously at the end of the day, we're all different people. We all have different thought process and whatever, like... What I think is right, somebody else can think is wrong, and I don't think I'm wrong, and I don't think you're wrong for thinking that either. Mm-hmm. When it comes to certain things, obviously. But, like, I mean, yeah, I am definitely her child. Like, she raised me, so yeah. If you're talking about, like, wanting things a specific way, or when she called me Perfect Patty the other day, is that the trajectory?
Yeah.
I figured, yeah. So, yeah, definitely comes from Mary Rose, I would say.
Yeah, okay. Moms. I would say I definitely want to get to a place where I can give my mom as much grace as you give me your mom.
I was going to say, I'm going to preface this with saying that I'm the only happy story. Or I mean, the happiest.
My story is going to be happy too, okay, but like, good. I feel like I can definitely get to a place where I give her more grace in the future.
And it's not easy. Like, yeah. It's definitely not like... People should be making you feel like, well, you know, she did it, because it's like, it's not necessarily an excuse.
Yeah.
You either decide to understand it or you don't.
Yeah.
And there's things that come with both of them. You could choose to not understand and progressively either be unhappy or not understand and just ignore it, and that can bring your happiness.
Yeah.
Or you choose to understand and get happiness from there, because either way, we all gotta move on, like move upward,
somehow.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I don't want anyone to feel like whatever I said is, like, the way you should be or it should be. Because, obviously, there's a lot worse things that happen in people's lives. And not even that, because it's not even, like, what oppression wars or whatever. But it's, like, people deal with things differently. And your parents say things differently. Like, give you look differently. Like, it's all, exactly, it's all different, you know? So, yeah.
Okay, let's get into this. Okay, so, basically... I grew up in, like, a household where there's, like, four kids. Mm. my mom and dad didn't always have situations where, like, they were going well. Mm. I don't think anybody really knows. There was a time where my dad left the house. Mm. And, like, for my mom, that was, like, literally the end of the world. She's like, what the fuck? Like, you just gonna leave, nigga? And, like, that's probably where I get that from. You just gonna leave, nigga mentality. But, no, basically, so, like... There were just a lot of times where my mom and dad were at odds, and because a lot of times my dad would be like, he would kind of use me as the, like, all right, I'm going to, instead of fixing the issue that is going on in the household, I'm going to, like, band-aid it with Afua. Like, let's worry about, like, what Afua's doing. So then it would make me an easy target for my mom. So I think it was just really tough for me growing up, like, with all four of us, and then, like, feeling like a target. And I was, like, already, like, overweight. So for me, it was just like, it was just rough. Like, I feel like it definitely, my relationship with my mom started a lot of, like, my body image issues. It started a lot of my, like, I'm not good enough complex. So, like, I think growing up, it was really, really tough for me to... It was really tough for me to categorize, like, okay, she's going through a tough situation at home, so, like, it doesn't really say anything about my character, when I felt like to me, everything was a character attack. So, like, it was like, okay, I felt like if I, and it's still really hard for me to communicate or, like, speak up about my issues and stuff like that, because I feel like it's tough to, like, say, like, this is what I want. This is what matters to me in the moment, because it's like, for so long, I felt like it didn't matter. So, like, it's really tough to, like, it still affects me a lot to this day, and I'm working through it in therapy. Me and my therapist have been fighting the demons, you know?
Big therapist.
Like, big therapist energy. But it was just, okay, so it was tough for me, and it still is, but I feel like as I've gotten older, it's gotten a little bit better, because in my brain, it's like I can start to, like, rationalize, like, okay, like, this is why this happened, and I can start to understand. But I think I'm still working on the grace part. Like, I still have these, like, long-term effects. Like 3 months out of the year, I'm depressed because of you. So, like, it's really hard for me to, like, figure out, like, okay, that happened, and that was because of that, but, like, still not assign blame. So I think a lot of my relationship now is, like, okay, I'm trying to, like, free her from it and, like, build that, like, extra relationship with her. Like, oh, like, let's talk about boys. Or, like, let's talk about other stuff. But, like, not attach her to, like, my mental health problems, if that makes sense. And I think for me, I think that's the last piece in terms of, like, freeing our relationship and being in a better place. Because I still hold a lot of resentment towards her. Because it's, like, I get it. That was a really, really tough situation. If I was in a situation where I felt like my husband wasn't fixing the issues in the house and he was choosing my daughter, I would probably make her the target too. But, like, I feel like overall, for me, it was detrimental for my thought process. And, like, it still affects the way I communicate to this day. Like, literally, before 2020, I didn't... no, before, like, 2018, I literally didn't communicate. I had a friend who was literally just, like, open your mouth. Like, it's okay to say when you're feeling something. And I'm like, literally, it's not. Like, literally, it'll be an attack. Like, it still scares me to, like, open up my mouth and be like, okay, like, I don't want to go here, or I feel this, or I feel that, or I don't want to clean right now, or I don't want to do this, because it's like, it feels like it's going to be a character attack. Like, and to me, that's like the end of the world. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like, like this moment. And I think for me, it was, the problem was exacerbated a lot by, like, my mom's relationship with my sister. Because I think my sister was able to, like, give more grace early, but it was also easier for her because she wasn't the target. So, like, I think overall, it was hard for me to see my mom and my sister have such a great chummy relationship, and I feel like this woman doesn't even love me. So it's like, it was really, really tough for me, and it still, like, brings issues with my sister now, because, like, my sister will say things now where I'm like, girl, are you good? Like, literally, are you all right? Like, and I feel like as I got older and got stronger and became more myself, like, and I started, like, pushing back against the weird-ass things she says. I'm, like, literally, like, it really put a wedge between our relationship, because I wasn't accepting a lot of bullshit anymore. And she was shocked by me not accepting the bullshit anymore. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think my mom created that monster. And it's hard for me to forgive that situation, because it's, like, how do you overgas somebody else's head and, like, undergas somebody so much where somebody doesn't even feel like at the time, where somebody doesn't even feel like you love them, and somebody else can open their mouth to, like, character attack another person and it's okay.
In your face.
Right. So it's definitely something, but, like, I want to say, like, there was 2 to 3 months ago, I was having a conversation with my aunt, and it was so crazy. Like, my aunt, I was explaining it, and my aunt finally understood. Like, for me, a lot of my growing up was, because I was bullied a lot in school, and then I felt like I was coming home to be bullied, too. Mm-hmm. So, like, a lot of my growing up life, and then my aunts and uncles would call me and be like, you're being so disrespectful to your mom. I'm like, this woman is mean. Like, this woman is so mean. So, like, and they didn't get it at the time. Like, I would say it all the time, but they didn't really understand. They just thought I was being, like, an angsty child or whatever, but I think, wait, so back to the conversation with my aunt. So basically, she finally understood. And for me, that was, like, sort of like, all right, this might be as far as I ever get in this, and I'll take this piece. Like, not that I'm giving up, but I think I'm giving up on, like, how I want to hear that apology or how I want to hear that taking of ownership. Because I don't think, we just grew up in different places. We grew up in different times. We grew up in different everything. Mm-hmm. So, like, she doesn't understand that, like, if I don't want to conform to, like, what you want to do. Like, I remember, like, growing up, she'd be like, oh, like, you have to be a girl. You have to clean up. You have to do this. You have to do that. I'm like, girl, I'm literally not doing any of that. And that I'm not doing any of that would literally shock her. Like, she would literally be like, you're not doing any of that. And I'm like, literally, no. So it gave me, like, a rebel mentality a lot. So my aunt finally understood that.
What, like, did she say that made you know she understood?
Yeah, it's coming. So okay. I was having a conversation with her, and I was telling her, like, about, like, the bullying and stuff like that. And she was just like, I know. And my grandma was a big part of that too, because, like, you don't learn that situation, you don't learn that behavior from nowhere. Like, that behavior is passed down. So, like,
bullying her or bullying you or
bullying me. But, like, basically, I was telling my aunt about, like, what I experienced with my grandma and my mom, and she was just like, I'm so sorry. Like, I know that my sister has said and done some things to you that will probably affect you for the rest of your life. But I am so sorry. And I literally broke down because I felt like that may be the closest that I ever get to that. Like, she was the staunchest, like, why are you being mean to my sister type person. So, like, for her to, like, see my side and finally understand, like, I don't know if my mom will ever take responsibility for her side or see my side that way, because she was in a bad situation, and I understand. But it gave me peace to know that, like, somebody from that camp, somebody from that side acknowledged it, and somebody knew. So I think overall, I just have to keep working at it. And at some point, there's, like, ego death on both sides. Like, I'll say, like, growing up and getting older and moving out has really changed a lot in me and my mom's relationship. Like, things have gotten better. They're definitely not all peachy keen. I still have some things to work through, but it gets better-ish. Dash me.
Dash you. Jamesy Poo, it's your turn.
Oh, jeez. Okay. this is a lot to follow. So I don't know where I'm at with my mom. I guess, like, so Nafi kind of set a lot of the scene already.
I'm realizing I forgot a lot of stuff, but that's what happens when you repress everything. you're right, we don't talk about it.
Talk about everything. No. Too hard.
No.
I mean, when it gets down to it, like, I started going to therapy more often recently. And something my therapist asked me, and I guess I'll get into it after, was just like, do you need a relationship with your mom to be happy? And, like, the answer to that is definitely no, I do not. But I needed to be able to understand her. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. Like, so I spent, like Nathan was saying, we had, like, a lot of problems growing up with our parents. My dad was definitely into some crazy stuff, and my mom
was too.
Yeah, a little bit. Not, I mean, if we're ranking, like, definitely nowhere near. But
that was,
like,
crazy. But
she put herself in some positions that just weren't great for a mother of two children, but, like, if we're talking about, like, out of the grand scheme of things, like, we're straight, like, she's good, but financially and emotionally, and it's, like, for her well-being, she put herself in a lot of really bad positions. And I mean, so, like, something that's hard, and this is what Nathie kind of touched upon, is, like, to kind of live with her, you had to put yourself in her shoes often. Either so you can understand, or you can make yourself feel better about the way she was treating you. So once you did that enough, you started looking at her not, like, as just what she was doing to you, but, like, as an individual and as a person. And so a lot of her actions made sense in some ways. Doesn't mean they're right. But, like, if you can understand something, it makes it a lot easier for you to be able to accept it. So I definitely spent most of my childhood rationalizing what she was doing to me, especially considering, like, her background and what she knew about what a man's supposed to be and what it was like raising someone in a new country and kind of how family-oriented she was and how little of that she had where she was, and she was kind of stuck, and I feel like I'd be stressed the fuck out too. But also, you have to acknowledge that she put herself, whether she had all the knowledge or not, to be in that position, like, with years of warning and knowledge. So it's a hard spot to be in. So, I mean, like, I spent a lot of my childhood, like, defending my father, because like for me, my dad and me had a relationship. I don't remember, and obviously I was a child, but I don't remember a lot of my mom like being with me as a kid. Like I remember her being there for sure, but like the relationship I have with her now kind of feels the same as it always was, which she like, she's there, she's my mom, she feeds me and she takes care of me, but like we don't talk about the things that I really love or do, or like the things that make me. I always feel like that isn't really a part of the equation. So my dad always felt like he knew, and we'd talk about things, and but he was also like this chaotic person. So you know, it as a child, I just stuck to what I like. This is the person that takes care of me. And something that was weird was like, I remember like, so Matthew would kind of chill, but I'd be like in the fights with them, like arguing with them, talking my shit like as a kid, and like that put me in a position where my mom didn't really, I don't say didn't like me, but I always felt like there was some antagonistic energy there.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like the kid who speaks up. You don't like me?
No, yeah, because like it's annoying, and plus I don't know what I'm talking about, and like I'm easier to be used, you know, and so I don't remember all of it, so I can just talk about what I feel when I remember, and so like that wasn't great. And then as things became more clear that my dad was definitely the worst of the two options, you know, it's like a 6-year-old, obviously 7, I had to start shifting sides. which is kind of funny, but like it's like kind of worrisome because like the shift was definitely not met with like open arms necessarily. Like my mom loved me, like she definitely still took care of me, but like when we're talking about like conversational stuff, like I just remember her like not really fucking with me.
That is so intriguing, because I literally feel like her opposite.
Remember when she used to, yeah, because you were on her side.
No, because I looked like daddy, and remember the whole whatever with, yeah. So I felt the other way around.
Really?
Remember
when they used to buy each other, like my dad would buy my birthday gift and mom would buy your birthday gift?
I remember they used to do the girls to girls, guys to guy thing. Maybe that's what you mean.
So
yeah.
No, not even just that.
Not just that, but I mean like, and that's what I'm forgetting.
Yeah, and like the thing is like they would split us up by gender.
Yeah, they do.
Like a lot. Yeah. And it wasn't like a problem if both of them were there. But one of them's gone, suddenly you're without your partner.
Yeah.
And Nappy's birthday is always behind mine, like a month after. So, like, if I got something, Nappy would get a little bit more. And they'd say because she was older, which is, like, fair. But mom was also much more of a reckless spender. So, which is kind of, like, where some of the problems came in. And so that would lead to, like, me just always feeling inferior. Like, young. And then that didn't go away my entire life. Like, I mean, as we got older and, like, Matthew talked about, like, the zoning thing, like, she would just tell me, like, straight up, like, you gotta listen to me. You need to talk about your dad a little bit worse than what he's doing. So this way we all, you guys come to me and there's no, like, and you can't, you have to talk, yeah, you gotta talk about me a little better than what I've been doing. So this way there's no, like, child services type stuff. Which, like, really made me angry. And I remember I was in the courthouse and I was, like, smacking my head against the mirror. So I was just like, I don't know what to do. And then I was like, I gotta like figure my shit out. Yeah, so I lied on the road heavy. Cause I was like, you know, like there's
one good side here.
Not even good, there's just one much better side.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah. And then the thing is like, I mean, growing up without a dad is like not an ununique experience as a black person. As an African kid, I feel like it is. Mm. Which is hard. Cause it's like, you know, like you feel isolated from them in that way. Because the thing about African children versus like African American children is like the way they act, the resources they have, but more importantly, like just like the confidence they have in themselves.
The confidence?
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of that comes from your parents. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get that. Mm-hmm. So I was really, and I still am, like relatively unconfident in comparison to like a lot of my peers, especially mm-hmm. African men.
Mm-hmm.
And that like definitely reflects back on African women too, because they really like that confidence. So that made that really hard for me.
That's true.
That is very true. I didn't think about that that much. But
well,
you're not wrong.
Yeah.
But low-key, when I think about the super overzealous African men, I'm happy you are the way you
yeah,
are.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's probably better for me, like, a person.
But you're right, there is a difference.
But it just made it harder for me, like
yeah,
if, you
to,
know,
like, relate.
Yeah,
to
yeah,
like
to relate to those people. And then, like, mm-hmm. I definitely wasn't the same as the African-American children.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, and then what I thought at the time was, like, this was, like, oh, I'm not black enough. But, like, realistically, I just had a really different life set up. And so, I can go back, it'd be so much easier to explain it to myself, like, they don't dislike you because of this. You're just not confident in yourself. But that's a whole other thing. But, like, so, like, you know, growing up in those positions and then moving a lot, what we always moved to were places where there's a lot of women. Because, I mean, for lack of a better, like, term, like, a lot of these women were taking care of mom because they understood her position and they understood what it was like to take care of children. And maybe this is a little bit of a stereotype, so let me know. But, like, they were just a lot more welcoming than men. And so we'd be in these households where, like, mostly women were around us. Women children, women adults, women teenagers. And I was the only dude all the time unless it was other young men. Like, but, like, much younger than me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was always by myself. So, like, I would, like, I mean, not, like, by myself entirely. Like, these people would talk to me. But we would go from house to house to house when my mom was working.
Mm-hmm.
And there'd never be any dudes. And so I started feeling really uncomfortable about men my age.
Mm-hmm.
And older men. I got really hung around older men most of my childhood. Because I didn't see them, and when I did see them, they were kind of shit. So that made me feel uncomfortable as a dude, and it made me uncomfortable, like, I don't think sexually, but, like, I just didn't, everything felt wrong all the time. And I didn't have anyone to talk to about anything. Like, when I remember when I first started shaving, that was hard, or the only person I could talk to about things was my mentor, Mr. Finch. But for him, he was so busy being, like, a corrector. Because he saw so many things that mean that need to be fixed that mom just did not notice, which is because she was so busy. And, like, the other people weren't really putting a lot of effort into me besides feeding me. Because that's, like, all they were doing, you know? Like, I wasn't around other kids that were talking to me all the time. And, like, the older woman I was around sometimes would, like, mess with me. Not, like, in a bad way, but, like, hindsight now, it's, like, some of it's kind of weird. And then, like, I'm working through. We could talk about that some other time. But, like, you know, it's there's just a lot of things that, like, as the only boy, no one really asks you about or cares.
Mm.
Well, not like they don't care. Like, if you told them, they care.
Ask.
Yeah, they don't care. They don't ask. So,
yeah,
to you, it feels like they don't care. Mm. And so, like, yeah, so it was just really isolating. So I read a lot, and I played a lot of video games, and I kind of stuck to myself. And until we moved to Miss Donahue's house, which was another woman that we stayed with for a long time, where for the first time in my life, someone was, like, all in on me, and none of that was chaotic, like, which was weird, because Nephew was with my mom in the same room, so, like, I don't know what your relationship was like with Miss Donahue, but for me, she was, like, a life saver, because, like, I've never had someone, like, ask me what I'm doing that day, and, like, what do you want to do? She'd go on these walks with me.
And, like, genuinely care.
Yeah. We'd go volunteering together. We'd go, she'd ask me, like, do you want to play soccer? And we'd kick the ball back and forth. She was, like, this old woman, old white lady.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that was, like, the first time I felt like someone really loved me for me, you know? Especially an adult. And, like, Mr. Finch cares about me. But, like, to give you a sense, like, he's a mentor. He wants to grow black men into, like, leaders and idols, and I mean, some of the things I became, which is great, but he also doesn't really care about, like, he cares, but, like,
not in the same way that you, like, want and need.
Yeah, he's really not there for your emotions, or, like, he wasn't like, James, like, what did you read today? He'd be like, James, did you read this book I sent you about this black leader, you know, which is important, you know.
Yeah.
And, like, he's like, did you do your math homework this way, or, like, are you looking at stocks in the future, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that set me up for success now, but, like, he didn't really, he saw me as an archetype.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't see me as, like, me.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt the same with my mom,
mm-hmm.
or any adult, really, besides Miss Donahue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my mom sees me as, like, her son, and, like, I mean, she takes care of me, she feeds me, but, like, does she know a lot about me? Not really.
Mm-hmm.
She knows, like, about, like, my, like, living with someone, you know a lot about someone. And, like, once again, like, she was working a lot, and she was doing a lot of things. And, like, I mean, I guess, and this is something that Nafi probably touched upon, but, like, in the grand scheme of things, me and Nafi are pretty good kids, like, really good.
Yeah.
But, like, you're not, you're judged relative to the expectation, not about everyone else. So, like, me not folding my clothes sometimes was, like, a World War III situation, you know? Or, like, me, I don't know what I did.
Those World War III jokes hit a little different now.
Oh, sorry.
No, I said the same thing, and I'm just like, ooh.
Yeah, sorry.
No,
I mean,
keep going.
But, like, you know, me not...
Pray for Ukraine.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, say that again.
Yeah, so, I would talk about things I did to get in trouble at school. People would be like, you didn't do anything wrong. Like, this is what... And, like, I'd go home, and mom would treat me like... Because in comparison to Nafi, who, her reputation for Nafi was even higher than me, especially as a first daughter, you know, of an immigrant family, it's like different expectations, but no matter what we did, we can never reach them. Mm-hmm. And my reaction to that was like, I can never reach anyone's expectations. Mm-hmm. So like, which was good, but it ended up being really good for me professionally, but like socially and then like confidence wise, mm-hmm. not great. <Yeah. laughs> And even now, like, I doubt my ability to do anything well. I think I can do anything good. Like, I think I can do things, and it turns out, like, if you want to make money, you just have to do things good, you have to do things great. And that makes it a lot easier just to try things, like, give to somebody, and they go, okay, but, like, if you try enough things, someone's going to pay you. So,
you're
like,
here first.
I was like, business?
You try enough things, somebody's going to pay you.
Well, yeah, and so, like, basically, my childhood kind of set me up to be this archetype of, like, who I am now, which mm-hmm. is, like, a young black man doing well, mm-hmm. which is great, but, like, no one really took the time to really care or ask about me and how I felt. And, like, when I felt depressed, like, I was just behind on myself. And I got bullied in school for, like, I didn't always dress the right way. I wasn't confident enough in myself. I spent a lot of time around white kids. You know, like, I got bullied for not taking care of myself because my mom didn't really know how to take care of, like a black person. I'm a black kid.
Boy.
So my hair was never really done the right way. Like, I would do things that just didn't fit me. And then she would give me access to mentors that didn't know how to do it as well. So, like, I just was always a mess, to be honest. And, like, my confidence was always shot. But when I was at Miss Donnie's house in fourth grade, my confidence went up. Mm. And then we moved to a house. And at that point, like, it was still the after effects were there. So I was still really confident. Then dad died, and that slowly dropped. Mm. Middle school was terrible because we moved into a relatively worse neighborhood, like into an apartment complex, and I was once again surrounded by women all the time. There was no neighbor kids I could hang out with like I could.
Because they were gang-related.
Yeah, because they were gang-related or, like, they were trying to do some crazy shit, and, like, I just wasn't either cool enough, and I definitely wasn't fucking with it. So, like, I wanted to do sports, and I thought that would make me feel better, and I got bullied a lot in sports because, like, Mom didn't let me exercise or do certain things growing up, which made me, like, kind of weak and small, which she didn't really care about or notice. But, like, a man would notice that and try to fix it, but it was too late at that point. So, like, I had to really go through a lot of bad things to get, like, to the point where I was, like, able to compete with my, like, peers, which was probably good character-wise, but it wasn't good for me. Like,
in the moment.
Or now. But she doesn't see that. Like, she just sees it as, like, why can't you just, like, not do that? Because she's a woman. Like, I mean, it's just, like, different how people judge you. And mm-hmm. But I don't know. And then she didn't really like me doing wrestling or football for clear reasons. Like, she didn't want me to get hurt. I don't know if she could have afforded it if I got hurt, you know. And then she had to pick me up and take me. You only had one car. And so, but the thing is, I felt so bad about being poor. I didn't talk to my friends about, not poor, but we lived in a really bad area. And all my friends and the kids I were in class with, because I was in some of these advanced classes, they lived in these really nice areas. So I didn't want to tell anyone where I lived. And then we weren't even allowed to at certain points because we would get yanked from our school system because we didn't live in the district. So, like, basically, no one knew where I lived.
We had no friends over.
Yeah, I had no friends over. Which is, like, I don't know. It was so, like, and so all my friends would, like, do sports together and, like, hang out after school. And I would be, like, kind of there, kind of not. So I didn't really have that many close friends. The first couple of years of middle school was, like, pretty rough. But as we got into a better financial position, and I started doing more sports and kind of just grew up a little bit more. I started noticing things about how to dress. And it wasn't amazing, but it was better. And every year just kind of got better after sixth grade, where, like, I started noticing things, started taking care of myself more. And then as I got into high school, especially when Matthew left, it was weird because, in one way, my mom stopped caring a lot about what I was doing. Like, not, like, caring in a bad way. Like, she didn't ask me about my grades. Where initially, like, she would, if my grades weren't perfect, like, she'd get really mad, like Nafi was saying. Mm. She stopped caring after a certain point. She just kind of let me do whatever I wanted to, as long as it wasn't getting in the way of her, like, from a school perspective. And then she made things really hard for me to do because I wanted to volunteer. I wanted to do clubs. I wanted to do sports. and we couldn't really afford it or like the transportation. So like we'd always get into arguments there, and if we did, and if I did do it, it was like something she held over me.
Uh-huh.
So like it felt like as much of a release as it was like a shackle, you know. And then like I started getting into the things that I do now. Like I started really getting into sports and podcasting. I mean, podcasts I thought were really cool, and as a way to learn about sports and business and politics and just like the world. And like I'd read a lot, especially as a kid. And like she would sometimes be like, "You shouldn't read this much," you know. Because I was just by myself, so I wouldn't really talk too much, and I don't think she liked it, or she was worried about it. She didn't like how much video games I played, which I get it, but also, like, those were, like, my outlets. So she would, like, stop me, or she would make me feel bad about them, and then she would ask me, like, to come watch things with her, like, her and Affy, which is, like, in one way, like, a family bonding experience for her, I'm sure, in her eyes, and she just wanted me to be there. But for me, it was, like, I can't do the things I want to do, and then you're not giving me time to do what I actually like. And you try to stop me at all times to do so.
Now we have to watch Say Yes to the Dress.
Yeah. No, I have to watch just like female targeted.
Yeah.
And so like, and this never felt like she saw me as like a person.
Something she could drag along and plop you there.
Yeah, she just wanted me to be there. Like once again, like an archetype. She just wanted me to be there. She had me. So like, you got to do these things, but I don't really care what you like to do. And so, you know, as like Nafi went to college and it was just me and her in the house, I thought, like, maybe we'd start developing a relationship, but at that point, like, I was trying to get a job, and she, like, did whatever she could to stop me from getting a job. Like, she was like, "No, I'm not taking you. I won't drive you anywhere. I don't care if you get a car." She's like, "No, I'm not going to help you." So I had to get a job where I could walk to it, and so I would do that. And then we didn't always have Wi-Fi, especially when Nafi was in school, because we were paying for her a lot of her fees out of pocket. So, like, I was helping with that. But, like, I also couldn't go home and play video games like I used to.
You said on the Wi-Fi I pay for?
So, and which, like, once again, like, you know, money issues, I get it. But, like, it made it really hard to be, like, to do the things I like to do. Or, like, to find any form of expression. Because I didn't live near my friends. And not everyone had cars. So I was kind of just by myself a lot alone. And, yeah, so I know I'm pitching this really bad story, but like this is kind of like what it was like. She's not like bad, you know, and I hope people don't take away that I think my mom is bad. I just understand what she sees me as, and it's not me. And that's kind of how it's always been. And now, like, you know, and this is the last part. As I got into college and I started doing really well for myself, I thought, like, because like the whole time I was growing up, she was like trying to make me stop doing all these things so I could focus on getting a good job and doing well in school, because the whole point for her was like, do well financially, be independent, especially someone who went through so many financial troubles. She was really stressed about it. And then I started doing the stuff that made me do stuff financially well, but she didn't understand the path because she's only seen a couple of them. So she was like, "You shouldn't volunteer, you shouldn't do internships, they're not paying you enough." And I did a lot of those, and she was bad. She was mad about every single one whenever I told her. She never was like,
"Yeah, yeah." And
she'd never be like, "Wow, good for you," or "Congrats." And like the ones that I did get paid for, she wouldn't help me. You know, be like,
get to it.
Yeah, get to it, or like, be in position to do well. Like usually, like if, and this is once again financial. It's like if I told my kid, like if my kid told me, "Hey, I got an internship here. I'm about to move so I can do the internship," a parent would usually be like, "Oh, here's some money so you can get started." But like, she wasn't in a position to do so. So like, what she could do is tell me not to do it, because out of fear, I imagine, like, what if I don't have enough money to support myself?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not like, once again, I get the position, but it in practice, all it felt like is her saying, "You shouldn't do what you want to do."
Yeah.
"You can't do it," is
like
really what
it,
yeah, restricting me is kind of my, most of my takeaway from her. And so like now I'm doing really well, and like near the end of college I started doing really, really well, like national awards, and like a lot of effort I put into stuff, and like I would see how people would react to me on campus and like around the country, and they'd be like, "Wow, you're so great and congrats," and I started getting all these accolades and like achievements and stuff, and the way she saw me or treated me or responded to it didn't really change. Unless
you want her to fangirl.
Yeah.
That's kind of the takeaway people always say when I say that, and it's like I just wanted her to be like
excited.
Not excited. I wanted her to say like, "I'm proud of you," you know.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I guess Fangirl would be cool, you know, but, like, I wasn't making, like, a shit ton of money, so I don't know. Like, if it wasn't, like, directly benefiting her, she did not really seem to care. Yeah, so now, like, I'm doing really well, and I'm doing things I want to do, and
I'll... free-ass nigga, guys.
You know what? All the stuff I did that all the things I'm good at now, like, professionally, and, like, what I like about myself are things that she tried to restrict. And the things I don't like about myself are mostly, like... not mostly tied to her, but, like, are a byproduct of a lot of things that she tried to do for me. And so, like, it's hard to not resent her a little bit. But I'm working towards it. But the thing is, I don't know what a relationship with her would look like. Because it's, like, I don't have, like, a reference point.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, I'm trying as I get older now. But the more time I put into it, and the less time I have, and the more relationships I have to try and, like, keep going. You know, like, stuff, the friends I had in Seattle and Boulder, and, like, I barely call Nathie and Georgette, you know, and it's, like, and then, like, I'm in a long-distance relationship, so I have to, that's an hour on the phone, 2 hours on the phone there, I'm working, and it's just, like, sometimes I just want to be able to sit by myself and not have to call someone, and it's not like I don't have enough time, but, like, it feels so overwhelming, because I spent all my time on the phone, and so just for me to call her, just for her to either be rude to me, or, you know, not listen to what I'm saying, or just kind of want to, like, for her, this feels like, for me, this feels like she just wants to check in, because, I mean, she cares about me, which is, like, because I'm a person that she made, but it also feels like she is just calling me because she feels like she has to call her son, because she has a son, so there's not, like, a lot of benefit for me, outside of, like, you know, her happiness, but the thing is, she's never happy, no matter what I do, so it's,
Yikes.
It's hard to not... Well, I mean, is that not true?
Mm-hmm. I just was saying sounds. Keep going.
No, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. And, you know, now I'm kind of building... As I get closer to, like, really locking things down, like, relationship-wise... Stop.
You heard it here first.
Stop. No, I mean, like...
I didn't even said it!
Yeah, I didn't say like that, my fault. Like, we kind of, like...
Stop.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, my bad. Like, right, I mean, we're coming up on 2 years pretty soon. You know, like, you start building, like a really, I don't want to say like a family, but like
a plan.
Yeah, like a plan and like a support system with that person in mind, and you know, like, having someone that's there and witnessing it, like, because Nathie was there, but we had different realities, different situations, and Nathie was a lot more focused on making sure mom wasn't angry for a lot of good reasons, and it made her lives a lot harder for me to be like, I want to do this, and her be like, no. Like, most of the things I remember Nathie telling me as a kid was like, don't ask her. You remember all that? You're like, don't ask, she's gonna say no. And then I would ask, and she would say no, but like 10% of the time she would say maybe, and 5% she would say, I mean, like, 1% she'd say yes, and those yeses were worth it for me, and those are why I do well now, because I can just, I just say what I want a lot, but I guess, like, you know, having someone that's, like, just for you, and only for you all the time, no matter what's going on, is refreshing, because it's, like, I don't feel like I'm crazy when I say I feel like this after a conversation, because she's like, yeah, I noticed that, because she's only locked in on me, you know. And so that's really cool, and it's made, like, my relationship with my mom, like, different, because I don't have to always think, like, am I the one that's making the mistake, by not swallowing it, and, like, in a sense, like, I definitely am, in some ways, like, I mean, I'm sure I'll regret not being closer with her as I get older, but, I'm not sure if I will. But, like, right now, like, I'm really happy.
I love that.
And the
love
only
happiness.
One of the things that makes me unhappy is her.
Oh.
But it's always been like that, so it's not like it's new.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's kind of, I hope that
you
gave
grow
a picture.
And adapt.
Jesus
yeah.
Christ.
Yeah. I think.
Is that new information for you?
No.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Well, I don't know. It doesn't matter.
What do you mean?
Is that new information that mommy makes you unhappy? Overall,
yeah.
Is that what you're asking me?
No, not just that, but I mean, like, what I just said.
Yeah.
As someone that was there, like, did you feel any of that? Or I mean, I don't know. It's hard to be objective. And I don't want to be objective, but I don't want to make it seem like she's, like, this terrible mother. Because, like, you know, she, once again, like, she did a lot of good things for me. And she's done good things. But I just remember a lot of times, like, I remember one time, this is the last thing I'll say, is, am I over? Oh, jeez.
We're all over, but it's okay.
Okay. Oh, okay, last thing.
We can edit some things out.
Yeah, we can edit.
I'm sorry. My bad.
No, you're good.
I remember when I was younger, I was smaller and weaker than a lot of the boys, so I wanted to start working out. So I thought people would respect me more, and I'd feel better in myself, you know, self-care, body image, which she was really destructive of for me. I mean, not to certain extents, but, like, she definitely was not very kind. Mm-hmm. And so, like, my mentor gave me weights, and I started lifting, and I started seeing changes in my body. But she told me, like, if the weights weren't in, like, a certain place in your room, I'm going to throw them away, and you get 3 strikes. And so one time, after, like, 2 months, I left them on the floor after I was working out before I went to school, and I had to rush out. And so I came home, she threw them away, and I started crying, and she started laughing at me. And then I remember feeling really bad about that, and then I remember, like, maybe, like, 3 or 4 months ago, we just left. She made me go somewhere with her, and we were talking about, like, lifting. And she was like, remember that time I threw away your weights? And I was like, yeah, that felt terrible. And then she started laughing again. And then I was like, oh. And I just wanted to leave. And that's, like, kind of my relationship with my mom in a nutshell. Just kind of.
I think it's important to, like, I guess, highlight that, like, the two situations are different, but it doesn't mean that, like, any less situation is less true or any less situation is, like, less of a feeling. Because, like, I'm sure my sister would probably give an entirely different account of our childhood. So, like, it's just interesting to see, like, everybody can live in the same household. Everybody can have the same mama and then have, like, a different perspective. Mm-hmm. Any advice? I'll start. I would say, for me, it's been very, very important to, like, focus on myself and what I need in the moment in terms of, like, relationships overall, but, like, also relationships with my mom. Like, I know that, like, there's certain things that I won't get from my mom, so there's other people that I have to get that from. And for me, it's okay, because then in my brain, it gives me control over who I give access what to what, and I like that. Mm-hmm. And then I think it's also important to, like, kill the ego sometimes. Like, sometimes I have to remind myself that, like, okay, like, my mom is also a person. Like, mm-hmm. She's also going through something right here. So as much as I can feel like, this is Chirac, like, this is the end of the world, she probably also feels like this is the end of the world. So sometimes, like, coming to her perspective and, like, killing my ego on the side of something.
I'm just gonna say move out.
Leave that house.
Leave the home. No, but move out, definitely get your own space. I think James was kind of saying something before about, like, being independent of them obviously dwindles how much they have over you.
Yeah.
Because obviously a lot of James's story was, but she feeds me, sorry. She feeds me, but if she's not the main one feeding you, there's something can kind of sort of change in that, you know?
Yeah.
As far as dependence and things like that. But on a serious note, Georgette said ego death. As far as, like, the kid, I'll say it. As far as the parent, I think for the most part and ideally, we all know that, you know, when you're younger, obviously it's really, like, wild. Because not only are you more susceptible to things and, like, the differences and the changes, and it sticks with you more at that age than maybe when you're, like, 30, but so you're changing, but they're also changing their relationship with you, ideally, and speaking to you differently, expecting things differently, understanding that you are becoming more of your own person, and maybe swallowing more of the things they want to say, and the idea that you're going to come to it on your own because you're not the same 5-year-old kid they raised mm-hmm. however long ago. So I do think, ideally, their ego kind of has to die at the same time, a smidge. Not at the same rate as the kids, probably, but a smidge.
But it shall die, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, advice. That was us.
Well, guys, thank you so much for listening to us. This was our therapy session.
Hello.
No, I'm just kidding. But this was through thick
and thin.
Thank you, guys.
Bye, Jamesy.
Bye.
Bye. We're not sad.